Lord, how we thank you for your precious grace that is upon us. Lord, we thank you that your eyes are upon us. Lord, that you love us so much that you can't take your eyes off of us. Lord, we don't understand it. We don't deserve it. But boy, do we appreciate it. And boy, do we need it. And we want it so desperately, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you are sovereign. We thank you that you are good. We thank you that you are compassionate. We thank you that you are merciful. And most of all today, we thank you that you are a blessing God. And because we've come here to seek you, it is your desire. And for your namesake, you will bless. And we rest in your blessing and your character and your goodness. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Did you realize that you have a call on your life? There is not one person in this room that has not been called by God. Every one of you has been called by God, and you have that calling of God. Have you ever just felt the Lord call your name? Have you heard it? Have you felt it? Those of you who were saved at an older age, you know what that calling is. You know that conviction. You know that when you look around, you know that you were born for something more than this. There's just something in you that you know that you have a calling on your life. It is interesting, the places personally that I have felt that calling on my life. I have felt that calling at Target. Don't ask me why. But sometimes I'll be walking through that department store and I'll know there is more to life than this. Something just happens and I think I was born for higher purposes. And you look at the others and you're thinking, have they been called? I'm called. I remember walking alone in a crowd and suddenly realized I am the called of God. I've asked other people, especially kids, I'll say, have you felt the call of God on your life? And it is surprising. I have asked little girls that are in sin. I have asked little girls that are in righteousness. And both say the same thing. Yes, there is a call on my life. God has a call on every one of our lives. And we are either submitted to it, we are either walking in it, or we are ignoring it. We are not appreciating it. It's one or the other. Peter starts this section with a finally. That finally actually means this. This is for all of you. Finally, all of you. Whether you are simply a citizen of this country, whether you are an employer or an employee, whether you are a wife or child or person, anyone in the body of Christ, this is for you. And in verse 9, he tells you what the calling on your life is. You were called. I love this. You were called. The this. You were called to this. The this. What you are called. You are called to be a blessing. That's what you were called to be. Not only were you called to be a blessing, but you were called to be blessed. You are called to be blessed. You are called to bless others. You are called to be a blessing. What are you? I am a blessing. You are called to inherit a blessing. In the Old Testament, God instructed the priests in Numbers 6, 23 through 27, to put his blessing, the blessing of his name, upon the people. And the priests were to go before the people, all the people, the individuals and the corporate groups, and they were to say, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God said, in so doing, you will put the blessing of my name, of my character, of who I am upon the people. But remember what Peter told us in chapter 2, verse 9? He told us that we now are that royal priesthood. We are the ones who are to put the name, the blessing of the name of God, upon each other. I know that my dad one Sunday said, "No, when you sing that song, don't close your eyes. Look around. Put the blessing of God on each other." And I tried that. And you know, when people look at you, I don't know what it is, and you're singing, your ears tear up, and your eyes do too. Amazing. Your eyes tear up. Have you ever done that? Years ago, I remember going to a couple's dinner, and we had to turn to each other, and we had to sing that song. And you know, it was Ron Wiseman, and he was saying, "Don't look anyplace else. Just look at your spouse." And I was trying to look at Brian, but my eyes were tearing up. And I don't know why, but that man started singing,
"The Lord bless thee."
Because he was getting embarrassed. You know what men do when they get embarrassed and they're being too vulnerable? They get silly, don't they? So I knew this was a very tender moment for Brian. In 1 Chronicles 23:12, the priests were set apart by God forever to sanctify the most holy things, burn incense before the Lord, minister to the Lord, and to give a blessing of his name forever. Now that responsibility, as members of the body of Christ, as the called according to his purposes, has become our responsibility. It is our responsibility in Christ to be blessed, to bless, to be a blessing, and to inherit a blessing. Peter has been dealing with the areas in which we are to bless and to be a blessing. Again, in the house of our God, we are to be a blessing. We are living stones. We are to be a blessing in our country, to our government. We are to be a blessing to employers or employees. And we are to be a blessing to our husbands, our homes, and our families. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." But if that salt loses its flavor, that which distinguishes it as salt, how shall it be seasoned? It is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trodden under the foot of man. In the days, in Bible days, salt was used many times in exchange for money. It was a very expensive commodity. It was traded for goods. It was exported. There is something about salt that enhances and brings out all the flavor in food. It just does. I know this personally. I have made chocolate chip cookies and forgotten the salt. There's something missing in those cookies. You're eating them and you're thinking the chocolate is here, the butter is here, the flour, everything that's fattening is here. I don't understand why the flavor is missing. And then something comes over me and says, "Salt, salt." And then you make those chocolate chip cookies again, and you add that salt, and what happens? You eat all of them, and the dough. There is something about salt. Brian is so funny, because when I have unsalted butter for cooking, and I have my salted butter, and there are times that he will accidentally butter his toast with the wrong butter. And when we see it happening, everyone crowds around, because Brian will make this expression like, you know, what is happening? We're in the tribulation. It's incredible. Just like, and it's all because it doesn't have salt. Salt enhances the flavor. It brings it out. Toast is only bread that's been burned until you add the butter, the salted butter, and then it's ambrosia. Salt adds flavor. It enhances life. We as Christians, we are to bring the reverie, the joy. We know what life is really all about. We bring the salt. We bring the purpose. We bring out the flavors. Oh, marriage. Add the Christian to a marriage and you've got marriage. Add the Christian to the parenting and you've got parenting with joy. Add the Christian, the salty Christian, into the mixture and you've got something incredible. I used to be the person, on my block that they wanted at every shower. I don't know why. I made my gifts. I really don't know why. But they kept asking me back to these showers, and they said, we just had to have you. And I remember being at one of those showers, and they said something, I won a game. And guess what I said? Praise the Lord! Everyone went quiet, and they just looked at me. Like, who did invite her? Why are we inviting her? But Christians have a way, by the grace of God, of entering into everything. We enter into the moment. We enter in with salt. But if we lose that joy, that distinction of Jesus in our lives, then we're tasteless. Then we're just like everybody else. But we are meant to be salt. But to be this blessing, this salty blessing, first we must be blessed. We must be blessed. And the blessing in our lives is Christ. He comes into us, and his presence blesses us. For wherever Jesus is, there is blessing. Wherever Jesus went, whether it was on the shores of Galilee, he blessed. Simon Peter's house, he blessed. Jairus' house, he blessed. Simon's house, he blessed. Zacchaeus' house, he blessed. Wherever Jesus went, Calvary, he blessed. The tomb, he blessed. The upper room, he blessed. I mean, you go on a fishing expedition with Jesus, he blesses it. Every place Jesus went, he blessed. And now as he's resident in our hearts, he is blessing us. Without Christ, there is no blessedness. As he said in John 15:5, without me, you can do nothing. In Ephesians 1:3, a scripture I absolutely adore, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's why we're blessed, because we are in Christ, and Christ is in us, and we are blessed because of his presence. And now, because we are blessed, we are to bless others. Peter talks about the blessing that we are to be to each other. That blessing comes when we have one mind. Again, we're not talking about unity at the price of truth, or unity at the price of purity. We are talking about unity as we ascend to the mind of Christ. As Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Peter is saying, we need the mind of Christ to be a blessing. We need to think like Jesus thought. How did Jesus think? He said in John chapter 13, I am among you as one who serves. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is still serving us. Isn't that amazing? We say, oh Lord, I want to serve you. But what do? We pray. And when we pray, what are we doing? We're asking the Lord to serve us, aren't we? And does he say, you're here to serve me? He says, what do you want? What do you need? On the road to Jericho, there was blind Bartimaeus who, when he heard that Jesus was coming and he heard the scuttle, he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, on this road to Jericho, had just been teaching the disciples, I don't want you to be like the Gentiles who lord over each other and have to stress their authority. No. I want you to serve one another. And then he goes into Jericho. This blind man who everyone is saying, be quiet, you don't count. This is Jesus. He's important. All of a sudden, Jesus stops. And he says, bring him to me. And they bring Bartimaeus forward. Now, Jesus doesn't say, oh, you're a blind man. You need healing. Eyesight. Jesus looks at this blind man, and in front of the entire crowd and his disciples, he says this, "What do you want me to do for you?" Our Jesus was one who serves. He is one who serves. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Though he was exalted, though he is God, though he is God incarnate, he serves. We are to have the ascended mind of Christ, the mind that serves, the mind that does not seek self-exaltation, but seeks to serve and says, how can I serve, or how can I be a blessing? I had a friend who used to come over to my house. She was so adorable. I babysat her when she was a little girl, and then she grew up into this beautiful woman, and she used to just love to come over to my house. And she'd come over, and she wanted to help me with whatever I was doing, and I always had projects. I'm one of those people. I always have a project. Some of them are very eccentric, but I have a project. And she would come over, and she'd always say this, "I'm here to help, not hinder. I'm here to help, not hinder." And then she'd go, "Oh, Lord, help me to help and not hinder." That's the mind of Christ, to help and not hinder. So to be a blessing, to bless, we must first have that mind of Christ. Next, we must have compassion. Isn't compassion such a blessing? This word compassion actually has to do with empathy or pity. It has to do with putting yourself in someone else's place. In Galatians 6:1, it says, "You that are spiritual, when you see someone overtaken with a fault, go to them in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself that you also could be tempted and fall." In other words, put yourself in their place. Understand what they're going through. Jesus said, "Whatever you would have men do to you, do also to them." Now, when you're in pain, when you're hurting, what do you want people to say to you? "I'll give you $1 million. So simple. No. You want them to say, "God is on the throne. You're going to make it through this. The Lord loves you. He is with you." You want to give them those 4 tent pegs. That's what you want to hear, isn't it? God loves you. God is for you. God and God alone is sovereign, and no weapon formed against you will prosper. Don't you want to hear that? Do you want to hear, "Well, you really were stupid. Can't believe you got yourself into this." No. No. Have pity. Have empathy. Have compassion, one for the other. This encompasses helping and praying and encouragement. We bless others when we love as brothers. That word love there is phileotechnos. It means brotherly love. It means friendship. It means to show friendliness with brotherly love. Have you ever noticed how families show extra graces for each other? The only reason I ever wanted to be a Catholic was because there were so many of them in one family, and they were always for each other. I went to a public high school. They were always for each other. You don't, you insult one of them, you had to deal with all of the O'Malleys. All of them, the O'Flahertys, they were there. And you were going to deal with all of them. They were for each other, and they covered each other's mistakes. You say things like, "Well, that's my brother. He's not heavy. He's my brother." You do those things because you're related. But are we doing that for each other in the body of Christ? We need to have phileotechnos for each other, brotherly love. We need to go the extra mile. We need to be kind. Church can be a scary place, can it? Do you remember the first time you came to the women's Bible study and they handed you homework and told you you had to fill it out? And then you were going to tell your answers out loud in a group? And then you were going to be corrected by the speaker? The first time I ever came to Joyful Life and I heard the rules, I burst into tears and I was related to the teacher. We need to reach out to one another and be friendly and to smile. We are related. We are brothers and sisters, and we need to reach out and say, hello. I've told you this before, but I used to sit on Sunday mornings. I'd always look for Meryl because I wanted to sit with her because she was always so friendly. And whoever she sat next to, she would write down their name and pray for them for a whole week. Meryl went to be with the Lord, and I went to her funeral, and I met her son, and he said, I saw you on my mom's hallway. Because not only did she pray for you, but she made you go out there, and she took a picture of you. And she put you up on her hallway, and then she would pray for you all during the week. Girls, get a camera. Sit by me. Isn't that so sweet? She would go down that hallway praying for the people that attended this church. That was Meryl. She always went second or third service. You could always recognize her by her beautiful hat, and she made her husband, Joseph, wear a tie that matched whatever she was wearing. I miss Meryl. To this day, I miss Meryl. But she had that spirit. She was such a blessing. In fact, sometimes you had to fight over who could sit with her. And if you didn't get here early, every place next to Meryl was taken. She'd always sit on the second row because she was such a blessing. And she blessed. We need to be a blessing. We need to be phileotechnos. Next, we need to be tender-hearted. We need to be gentle. We need to be careful in what we say and how we speak. We need to be tender, considerate of one another. There is nothing more tender-hearted than just to simply listen. Now, this, when I listen, it is a work of the Holy Spirit because I love to talk. That's my favorite thing next to eating. We need to listen. Have you ever noticed that your husbands will start talking about something you're so not interested in? And you'll just be like, oh, this subject again. And as soon as they get through it, all of a sudden these jewels start coming out and they start telling you what's really deep down in their heart. It's amazing what happens when I simply decide and cry out for the power of the Holy Spirit to be quiet. And to listen what that man has in his heart and the treasures that come forth. We need to listen to one another. All of you have such exciting things that God is doing in your lives. I love to hear the testimonies. I love stories. I've always loved stories. I remember coming to a meeting and a woman just talking to me and telling me how her daughter was dying of ovarian cancer. So they had the funeral before she died because she wanted to give a word to all of her friends. And she wanted to leave a legacy. And as her mother began to describe this funeral, it was so beautiful. It was so sweet. And then she took out pictures. All of you have a testimony that will bless others. But we need to listen to one another. We need to be courteous. We need to be polite. We need to show graciousness to each other, not to jump on each other, not to pick on each other. We need to be courteous and respectful to each other. And we can only do this when Jesus is living in us and having his way in us. We need to not render evil for evil. Don't insist on the last word. Don't seek to hurt even as we have been hurt. Don't seek to get even. I think of David playing the harp before Saul, and Saul's looking at him, and he's getting more and more and more and more and more jealous. And all of a sudden, he takes his spear and he hurls it at David. What is David doing? He is playing the harp. He is seeking to soothe Saul. He has been valiant for Saul. What is the natural inclination? The natural inclination is to pull that spear out of the wall and throw it right back. That's our natural inclination. We are by nature spear throwers, spear returners. Here, miss this? Just giving it back. When I was a little girl, I was really mad at the little boy next door, and he wanted to show me who was boss, so he climbed up and my tree that was in my front yard. And so I hosed him down. When his mother came out and looked at me, she said, Cheryl, what are you doing? I said, I'm just watering the tree. I was not always a blessing when I was young. We need to not revile when we are reviled. We need to not answer a threat with a bigger threat. Don't seek to cause the same injury to another that they have caused to you. Are those things, they are so easy to say. I can get up here and I can say these things to you, but I can tell you, I was tested on every single one. And I don't think 9 out of 10 is bad. But we are going to be tested. And the only way that we can be a blessing is if we start with being blessed. If we recognize all that is ours in heavenly places, that God is on our side, that he will fight our battles. The priests blessed people. They blessed them when they reminded them of the presence of God, the watchfulness of God, when they reminded the people that God is keeping you. God is keeping you. This will not take you down because God is keeping you. God is looking at you and wants to see his reflection. God's grace is being bestowed to you, and God's grace is God's enablement. God's favor is with you. As Paul said, God is for you. Is that amazing? God is for you. I love this song by Chris Tomlin. God is on our side. Who can be against us? Oh, I just love that song. It's got a little bit of that R&B soul thing. And oh, I sing it. I don't know why I sing along with that song, because it sounds better without me. But I just have to sing along because I have to remember God is for me. God is for you. Today, he's for your best. He's for your prosperity. He's for your life. He's for your enjoyment of life. He is for your children. He is for your marriage. He is for your blessing. The Lord's peace is with you. I love how Paul says in Colossians, let the peace of God rule your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let, allow, the peace is right there. God's peace is with you. Just let it rule. Thirdly, we are called to be a blessing. And remember that God's calling is God's enablement. Aren't you excited to see some people? Are there some people that you know that you're just like, oh, it's so-and-so? I have that. I have so many people, Mark and Sherry Galvin. I see them and I get excited, like, oh, I'm in for a blessing. Dave and Nancy Sylvester. Oh, my goodness. I just know I'm going to be blessed. They're this couple that God's blessings are raining down upon. So I just sometimes just try and stand near Nancy, just hoping like someone will hit me. Kind of lean in front of her. Oops, did that miss you? But there's certain people I just get so excited about seeing because they bless. You don't know how they're going to bless you either, but you know they're going to bless you. You don't know if you're going to walk in your kitchen and your dishes are going to be done. And you're going to go, I knew they were going to do something. You don't know if there's going to be a little card on your counter. You don't know if they're going to volunteer to watch one of your kids. You don't know if they're just going to speak a word of encouragement to you. I called a woman this last week, and from the moment she picked up the phone, she blessed me. Until she prayed for me and hung up, I was blessed. And she spoke blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. I would call her all the time if that hadn't been a 3-hour conversation, because I don't want to take the blessing of her away from her family. But I was so blessed. Are you a blessing? Are people excited to see you? We need to sanctify and bring the blessing of Jesus every place we go. We are a blessing when we bring the comfort, the joy, the purity of Christ, the mind of Christ into the presence of men and women. And finally, we are called to inherit a blessing. This blessing is just not for heaven. It's for earth also. As Peter said, quoting the Psalm, he who would love life, in other words, he who would love his life and enjoy his days needs to be a blessing. He who would love life and enjoy his days, if you want to say it counted, it was a wonderful life. I think of Jacob, who, when he was 120 years, and Pharaoh said, "How are you doing?" He says, "Few and evil have been the days of my life." I don't want that to be what is written on my gravestone. "Here lies Cheryl Broderson." Of course, I think they're going to cremate me. But I don't want it to say, "Few and evil were the days of her life." But you know why Jacob's life was few and why it was evil? Because when he was reviled, he reviled back. When someone did evil to him, Laban, he did evil back. He lied and he deceived. And those traits were passed down to his sons. And they lied and they did evil to their brother Joseph. Few and evil. What he reaped, what he sowed, he reaped. I have a friend who said that at one portion of her life, she put a sign on her front door and it said, "Prepare to die today." Just a happy thought before you walk out that door. How much better if we had a sign that said, "Prepare to be a blessing. Prepare to bless. Have the mind of Christ. Be prepared to bless in any way." That might be by that man that is tailgating, pull over and say, "Go ahead of me and be blessed." It might be that man that's trying to get over and he should have thought about that a mile back. "Go ahead, turn left and be blessed." Prepare to be a blessing. Amy Carmichael said, "Fight discouragement. It is a tool of the devil." There was an experiment done by psychologists. They had three groups of people. And one group was pretty happy, and they just put them in a room with each other. In the meantime, they took the two other groups, and they sent one to a really depressing movie, and the other to a very uplifting, happy, Frank Capra-type movie. And they put them all together. Now, the group that had seen the happy movie was very happy. The group that had seen the depressing movie was very depressed. Within 30 minutes, 90% of that group was depressed. What the article was stating was that a bad mood is contagious. Don't you want a bad mood to stop at you? No, no bad mood, back bad mood. I am a blessing. I've been called to be a blessing. We don't have to give in to discouragement, because we have a blessed God who is blessing us and has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, which is in Christ Jesus. We have been blessed with joy. Peter talks about three places that we must be a blessing in. And first, it's our words. We must refrain from evil, not saying, not talking about evil things. We must refrain from lies of any form. We must be a blessing in our words. We must be a blessing in our actions, eschewing or turning away and refusing to do evil, and then doing good, continuing in eternal works, continuing to be compassionate, continuing to be courteous, continuing to be gracious. And the blessing of God is also to be in our thoughts. Our thoughts, again, the mind of Christ. They must be thoughts of peace and pursuing peace. As it says in Isaiah 26:3, "He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts on thee." And then we are to inherit this blessing. This blessing is to be ours today. We are told that God's eyes are on the righteous to bless them. To bless them. God wants to bless you today. And this is how he does it. He fights all your battles for you so that you can be a blessing. He says, "I'll take the battles and you take the blessing." Isn't that incredible? He says, I'll deal with the unrighteous. I'll deal with those that hurt you. Remember our study in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, for it is a righteous thing with God to repay those who hurt you with tribulation. God will fight your battles so that you can be a blessing. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17, we're told about the tribe of Reuben, who in the midst of the battle cried out to the Lord, and he heard them because they trusted in God. And it says, many fell dead because the battle was the Lord's. God made an offer to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 through 3, he said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. God has called each one of us to this same covenant relationship through Jesus with himself. Remember, all the promises of God are in Christ. We are called to this same covenant relationship. We are called to be blessed in Christ. We are called to bless by the name of Jesus and his character. And his calling is an enablement. We are called to be a blessing to others, believer and unbeliever. And we are called to inherit blessings today, tomorrow, and eternally. Will you answer that call? I can't think of a better call than the call of God on our lives to be a blessing. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that your call is an enablement, Lord, that you haven't called us to anything that you are not completely prepared to strengthen us, to empower us, to live in us. Lord, we pray that you would live in us to such a degree that we might bless and be blessed and be a blessing to others and inherit your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.